Okay. So I'm not interested in you establishing that. But I do want you to understand how to answer who you are from God's point of view. And to really understand what God has made you in Christ. Because Christianity is about who you are. There's a great confusion. People think Christianity is about what you do. But Christianity is about who you are. What you do should flow from who you are. So if you don't know who you are, then trying to gussy up what you do is a loser's game. So we're going to look a lot at who you are. And we do that through the renewed mind. This is a subject that I'm pretty sure all of you have at least heard of, but in my experience, there's a great deal of confusion about the renewed mind, and the result is people do not experience anything near what God has promised in His Word. You know, when you became a Christian, you already believed lots of things. What we need to do now is to learn how to make the transition from believing all the stuff we've picked up over the years to believing what God says in His Word. Because it is believing God's Word that will bring us victory in our life. You ever hear the phrase, living by faith? Everybody lives by faith. You can't do otherwise. Everybody lives in strict accordance with what they believe. They may not live in strict accordance with what they claim to believe, but they always live according to what they actually believe. You cannot do otherwise. So all of humanity lives by faith. What we want to do is make sure that our faith, that what we believe, is based on what's in the Scriptures. And at times, when it comes to the renewed mind, I really wish God had given me a delete button for my brain. Wouldn't that be great if you could press one button and get rid of my years of accumulated garbage? Do you ever have to clean up your computer files, you know, and you go, oh, I don't need this anymore, I don't need that anymore. But that's not how it works. We don't have a delete button, but we do have a process that God has given us. A process in which we have a responsibility and in which God has a responsibility. And we're going to learn the difference between those two responsibilities. When I lead people into the manifestation of speaking in tongues, I always outline for them what God's responsibility is when it comes to speaking in tongues and what your responsibility is. And what I tell people is, don't try to do God's job, but don't forget to do yours. And the same is going to be true when we look at the renewed mind. That God is going to describe some things for us, some of which we are responsible for, but the big things are what He is responsible for. And God wants to work a transformation in your life. That is what He is after. Nothing short than a dramatic transformation. And in order to carry the computer analogy a bit further, our problem, generally speaking, is not a hardware problem. Our problem is a software problem, okay? Anybody ever been troubled by a computer virus? Okay? Computer viruses are little bits of code that are written to infiltrate, corrupt, and destroy your computer without the owner's informed consent. Now, you probably gave your consent by clicking on a link or something, but your consent was uninformed. You didn't know, oh, I'm going to wreck my computer by clicking on this. So that's what happens when we accept some idea that has been tossed our way by the adversary. Just look at these lies that the devil throws at you. They are just like emails from Nigeria. They're supposed to click on. We all know, I hope, that you don't click on that link, right? Well, we don't want to click on any links the adversary sends our way. Theme verse for the renewed mind is Romans 12:2. You know, my theme verse, you might have a different one. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I like the way God says that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when you got born again, you received eternal life, no small gift, but your mind was not changed. God does not change your mind. God has given you free will. He respects it. Your parents might not have, your boss might not, the devil certainly doesn't, but God respects your free will. So he's not going to change your mind. This is why a person can be born again, headed for heaven, and almost continually defeated in life. Because when you got born again, you changed what you believed about two small but important bits of information. You made Jesus Christ your Lord, the CEO of your life, and you chose to believe that God raised him from the dead. Everything else in your mind stayed the same. And because of that, even after you are born again, you will still have the same ideas, the same fears, the same problems as before, until you confront them with what God calls the renewed mind. The renewed mind is how we lead captive every thought to Christ, which is what we read about in 2 Corinthians. It's how we lead captive the thoughts that have enslaved us. And Romans 12:2 has two important bits of information. Stop conforming and start renewing. Then you will see God's will for your life. Then you will be transformed. Now, who does the transforming here?
God.
God does, right. Like, I'm going to do transforming. I can't do anything. I can't find my butt with both hands in the dark. I'm not going to transform anything. But you know, sometimes people, they take the Christian, they understand grace for the new birth. They understand, my wife is just like, whoa. I said, but.
But what did you mean?
No comment. Now I'm totally lost.
Romans
12:2, a good verse. Stop being conformed to this world. Start renewing your mind. God works a transformation in your life. What I have both seen in my own life and what I have seen in many others that I have talked with over the years is that people virtually ignore the stop conforming part of the equation and focus all their efforts on the renewing side, which is learning more of the scriptures. That's out of balance. And because it's out of balance, you don't see God's perfect will in your life. I don't want you to kid yourself on this first point about stop being conformed to this world. And God states it in such a way that it is assumed by God that you are doing this. And I would say that any assumption by God is an accurate one. Okay? See, unless you put a stop to it, you are being conformed into this world. That word conform means to be pressed into a mold. Whenever I think of this, I think of the Play-Doh fun factory. Ever have the Play-Doh fun factory? The Play-Doh has no choice about the shape he's going to assume. You put the Play-Doh in the top and you press it in there, and the Play-Doh assumes the shape. It is conformed to the shape of the mold maker. That's what happens when we believe a lie that has been thrown our way by the devil. He is a mold maker. He is making molds that you will be pressed into for defeat. So we don't want to be conformed any longer to this world, because the world has a viewpoint. The world has ideas and views about lying, about drunkenness, about stealing, about sex, that are very different than our Father, very different than the Creator designed. And in many cases, sadly in many cases, the lives of Christians are almost indistinguishable from the lives of non-Christians. And when your life is indistinguishable from a pagan's, your prison will also be indistinguishable from a pagan's. You see, your worldview is something that you have absorbed without ever really understanding it. If you ever studied geometry, you remember that. You remember that you studied geometry. You never took a class on worldview, did you? That this is how I'm going to absorb my worldview. No, you've absorbed this throughout the course of your life. We accept as right, true, regular, based on our experiences and the experiences and examples of our culture. And if we don't prove those to God's word, then we will have picked up an awful lot of lies that are going to press us into molds that end us up in prison. We don't want that. As I said before, our minds were full of beliefs when we got born again. And everybody lives according to what they believe. No one can do otherwise. We have been squeezed and conformed more than most Christians are comfortable thinking about. But I'm not here to make you comfortable. I'm not trying purposefully to make you uncomfortable. Otherwise, I would have had Barney put tacks on all the seats. So I wasn't out to make you uncomfortable. But I want to help you move down the road of discipleship so that you can enjoy everything that Christ has done. God describes our life prior to the new birth. And here it is in Titus. He describes it in a couple of places. Ephesians is another. I like Titus here. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. Well, there you go. By what? By all kinds of passions and pleasures, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Ooh, that sounds so harsh, Bob. You might be thinking, well, you know, I really wasn't that bad, Bob. I mean, I was a pretty good guy. Here's an uncomfortable truth. You are either conforming to this world, which is run by a liar and a thief, or you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind based on God's truth. Those are the only two choices you've got. Now, you might think you've got lots more choices, but you don't. The Naperville Post Office, it's great, great example. Naperville Post Office, when you pick up your vacation holds, you go there to a Dutch door with top swings. So I'm sitting there waiting for my vacation hold to come back, and I'm leaning over, and I can see the other side of the hallway of the post office. And on my side of the hallway, there's a woman sorting her mail. And the mail slots are Naperville mail, domestic mail, stamped mail, and, you know, whatever they call that stuff, that's pre-printed mail. And she is just putting this mail in all these, and I look on the other side, they're all dropping in the same bag. This woman thought she had a lot of choices. There was really only one. The devil presents you with a lot of mail slots. They all lead to the same prison cell. Okay? You know the song, Many Roads to Chicago? There are many roads to prison, but it's still prison where you end up. So the renewed mind is about a transformation. How do you like this nice graphic? I used to draw this stuff. Then I had to explain what I was drawing. Didn't have nearly the impact. The word transformation is the word metamorphosis. At least that's the English equivalent of it. High school biology, this is a metamorphosis. Caterpillar to a butterfly. Somebody pointed out that I actually had a moth up there. Okay, I get that. It was the prettiest graphic I could find. The caterpillar does not even look like it is the same species as the butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. When a puppy grows into a dog, that is not called a metamorphosis. God wants a change in your life so complete that you don't even recognize yourself. So you're going to need to keep your name tags, okay? And God is the one who works this transformation. In the Greek, the word transformed is a passive verb, which means the action is being done to you, as opposed to if you are doing it yourself. So you are being transformed by God. When you put off and put on, God transforms you. Look at Ezekiel 36:26. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's what God wants to do in our lives. We have to cooperate with Him. He doesn't force this upon us. The renewed mind is about a true transformation. It's not about a new look, but a new heart. People, Christians included, are very good at cleaning up the image. Not so much about addressing the root issues of life. Jesus Christ had a word that described people who just cleaned up their image. You know what that word was? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. How many of you have aspired to hypocrisy in your life? You see, I catch people like that because they think I'm putting it on my head. Oh, just put it on my head. Trick question? No. Jesus reserved some of his strongest reproof for hypocrites. And yet I've been a hypocrite. Where I portray myself as one way, but in my heart I'm really different. I was troubled by this. You know why I was a hypocrite? Because I didn't want you to see what a mess I was. Now some people are hypocrites because they want to deceive you and trick you and get your money or whatever. I was a hypocrite because I didn't want you to see what I was really like. But even though you didn't see it, I was still really like it. Which meant I was still in prison. I want you out of prison. I want all of us out of prison. Now the devil has to be a hypocrite because he cannot afford to introduce himself the way he really is. Hello, I'm the devil. I'm here to ruin your life. I'm not shaking your hand. No hugs for you. So he has to be a hypocrite. Look what it says. He wears disguises. 2 Corinthians 11:14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Is he an angel of light? No. He disguises himself as one. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end is according to their deeds. The devil never really changes. He just alters how he acts in order to fool people. Many believers wear disguises, never honestly facing or sharing the pain that is in their lives. The result is continued bondage. Don't ever let the devil talk you out of coming forward for help and deliverance. And I know why Christians don't come forward for help and deliverance. Because they're judged when they do.
Yes, I
know. That is just so sad. That is just so sad. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? Now, I'm going to talk about that verse later, but it doesn't mean what you think it means. What it means is God doesn't judge you, so what business do I have judging you? I want to help you. That doesn't mean that if somebody comes to me and they are trapped, you know, they're a kleptomaniac. That doesn't mean that I don't recognize that their stealing is wrong and I help them out of that. It just means that I don't allow their sin to cloud their identity. That's what I mean when I don't judge somebody. It doesn't mean I'm walking through life with rose-colored glasses and everything wonderful. It means that I choose not to impose an identity on you based on what you do or how you think. I try to recognize the identity that you have in Christ, which makes it a lot easier to work with people. Because I spend my days just talking to Christ. I spend my days talking to people who are born again.
That's a much better way to look at people. So don't ever let the devil talk you out of coming forward for help, okay? The renewed mind, of course, is not a disguise.
A disguise is not going to bring you the more abundant life. It'll trick others into thinking you're living the more abundant life. It will not bring it to you. You're going to know what you're living. The transformation that God wants to work in your heart will bring you that abundance. So what is the renewed mind? The renewed mind is how we become like Christ. Anybody here like to become like Christ? I would. I'm his ambassador. I want to be his representative. I want to be like Christ. We do this by putting off the old man, trained in the systems of this world, and putting on the new man, which is based on the truth of who we are in Christ. God then works a transformation in us. The result is deliverance. The result is becoming a disciple. What I'm after is in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Another translation says, have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. That's what I want to have. Jesus Christ didn't condemn sinners. He was condemned for welcoming sinners. You could look at the renewed mind as the process of repentance. One of the things I've noticed in the Christian world in general is we don't like to use the word sin and repentance anymore, even though they're in the Bible. Ignoring words that God uses doesn't bring us any closer to deliverance. We may as well see what he's got to say, understand what he means, and then live life from there. Peter talks about repenting on the day of Pentecost, start of the Christian church. To repent simply means to turn around, to change your mind, to change your attitude. You have been conformed in certain areas of your life to this world. To repent means you change your mind about those attitudes and ideas. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, the renewed mind has two parts. You put off and you put on. You put off the old man and the lies that have directed your life up until now. In their place, you put God's thoughts. And Ephesians spells it out for us. Ephesians 4:21. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off your old man, your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new man, the new self, created after the likeness of God in righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness. In Romans, we are told to stop conforming and start renewing. In 2 Corinthians, we are told to destroy stronghold and lead captive our thoughts. Here we are told to put off the old man and put on the new. The renewed mind, no matter how it's described and where you see it in the New Testament, always deals with two parts, putting off and putting on. The old man is who you were in Adam. The new man is who you are in Christ. The old man is the thinking, the habits, the ideas that you developed while you were being pressed into a mold of someone else's design. The new man is patterned after God and his Son. It's who you are in Christ. It is based on a new relationship to God. We put off the negatives of this world. We put off the lies that we have believed. Now, of course, first we have to figure out what those lies are, and we'll come to that in a moment. We have to consciously change what we believe. Contrary to popular belief, you can change how you think. Some people consider that they are simply doomed to live in a loop. Some tragic event that happened in their past, they're doomed to just always have that as a shadow over their lives. That's no verse of Scripture says that. A lot of people live that. No verse of Scripture condemns you to it. And I want to live like Christ. Renewing your mind is not simply putting new information in your head. It is letting it settle in your heart and become not only what you believe, but allowing God's word to become who you are. That's why that question was so important. And the renewed mind is not only about what you learn. Many people put God's word into their minds, but unless they also put off the old man and the lies that have trapped them, they will still be defeated in many areas of their life. There's a disconnect in the renewed mind for many Christians. And the disconnect is the first part to not be conformed any longer to this world. I want to ask you a question. I know most of you have met, and with all of the Word of God that we know, why do we still struggle? With all of the scriptures that I have at my fingertips, why do I still struggle? A part of the answer to that question is that I have exerted an enormous amount of effort to learn God's Word and a little itty bitty amount of effort to put off those areas in my life where I had been conformed to this world, to put off the lies that I had believed in my life. Many believers stay stagnant. They do not continue to mature. In fact, they don't really stay stagnant. They're in retreat. Their lives are missing out on the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to enjoy. And I have seen and I have been among those believers who have diligently set about to learn more and more of God's Word. We read our Bibles, we go to fellowship, we attend classes, but at the end of the day, we're not much different than we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago. I have 40 years of Christian experience and 2 years of Christian growth. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Why did that happen to me? Because I got tricked. Because I believed lies. Because I didn't really apply the principles of the renewed mind. Oh, I did in certain areas, but just not in all. I have seen believers who are hurt and struggling, and they set about to cram as much of God's Word in their mind as possible. Because their idea, their wrong idea is, my problems are because I haven't learned this elusive truth, and if I could just get that one truth, then everything would be fine. They look at their renewed mind as a classroom. So they listen to 500 teachings, and they're not delivered. I'm not exaggerating. They have crammed so much knowledge in their mind, but they're still not delivered. And then you know what happens? They start going, well, this stuff doesn't really work. What's wrong with me that I can learn this and not be delivered? But the problem is just much more fundamental and much easier to solve than sitting through 500 teachings. Not that there's anything essentially wrong with that. But they're doing it out of fear. They're doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it because they don't understand what the renewed mind is really all about. The renewed mind is not simply about informing. It is about being transformed, and that requires both parts. A chief reason for the failure to grow or see deliverance is that we expend all our efforts in learning and very little effort in evaluating what we already think and believe. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Most people just read verse 21. In Greek, it's a single sentence. We have to look at them both. Because when you look at it both, you'll see the renewed mind fingerprints on this. But examine everything carefully, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Two parts again. It's not put off or put on this time, it's hold on to that which is good and abstain from that which is evil. The renewed mind, everywhere you look at it, it's going to have the same two parts to it. We examine things by carefully comparing what we think and what we believe with God's Word. Otherwise, we're never going to know what kind of thinking is acceptable to God and what kind of thinking is offensive to God. Without applying 1 Thessalonians, we are very likely to continue in sinful behavior and sinful thinking out of ignorance or deception. Paul said he didn't know that coveting was sin until he saw it in God's Word. He didn't figure that out on his own. Time after time, when you encounter a verse on the renewed mind, God mentions both putting on truth and putting off lies. This is our job. God's job is to work a transformation in us. So don't forget to do your job. Don't try to do God's. A lot of Christians try to do God's job. They think they have to transform themselves. You put off the old, you put on Christ. God puts that new fleshy heart in you. And, you know, when you got into God's Word initially, you probably, if you were like me, and probably are, made an effort to rid yourself of any of the obvious things that you knew that were going against God's Word. But again, like if you're like me, you didn't get everything. I didn't continue to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good and abstain from that which is evil. And if you don't continue to apply 1 Thessalonians 5, then what's going to happen is it's going to be like an infection that isn't completely cured. You ever go to the doctor, gives you an antibiotic, they always say, take the full 10-day dose, okay? Why do they do that? Well, because they've been bribed by the pharmaceutical company. No, that's not why they do it. Okay? That's not why they do it. They do that because they know it takes that long to root out the entire infection, and if you don't root out the entire infection, it'll just come back. That's what happens with lies. If you don't keep rooting them out, they're just going to take root and they're going to start to grow. And you're going to find yourself back in prison, scratching your head and wondering what went on. More than anything else I've encountered, this explains why Christians live lives of defeat. Why they stagnate in their walks. Why they're stuck in an endless loop of their past. Not only that, of course, the devil is going to continue to throw new lies at you, which will have to be examined and understood. The devil is willing to invest the time that it takes to defeat you in your thinking. The devil is patient, and he has an excellent work ethic. And he is willing to spend the time needed in order to defeat you in your thought life. That's why willpower doesn't work. Because eventually, you're going to get tired. The devil will just show back up again. You know, people, you know, they can stay on that diet, they can stop drinking alcohol, if they're, you know, on AA, they can do that until they're under pressure. The devil will just come back when you're under pressure. Your willpower isn't going to do it. The renewed mind is not about your willpower, it's not about you, it's not about your education level. It's about a transformation that God can work with, a very simple decision that you and I can make. I like things that are simple. Look at Colossians 3:7. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Filthy language from your lips. I grew up in New York City. Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Profanity is the native tongue of Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. You know what this word means? It means profanity. It means obscene or abusive language. Now, I resisted that idea. Because I mean, this is just the way we talk. I don't mean anything by it. It's not that profanity offends me. It doesn't. The only profanity that I really don't like is God damn it and Jesus Christ so-and-so. Yeah. It's the only profanity I really don't like. I choose not to use it because God says not to. Because it is abusive. It is assaulting to people. I used to just think it was my dad and mom that mom would swear. I never heard my dad use profanity until I was 22. And believe me, I wouldn't provoke anybody. Yeah, so this, I had to face this, and like, I only learned this about 5 years ago, okay? I read this, oh my gosh, that's what that means. I have to stop doing this. Because I didn't know what kinds of thinking and actions were offensive to God. Because I hadn't really examined things carefully. Because my worldview accepted profanity as a normal way of speech. This is just a simple example. So I don't call these steps to the renewed mind. Okay, I don't like step teachings. It makes the Bible look like you're just plugging it into an equation. These are just principles to the renewed mind that you can use. And they're pretty intuitive. Let me see, did I sneak past that? Yeah. Read and think about God's Word. Well, if you don't read and think about God's Word, how are you going to know, how are you going to prove anything? How are you going to know what God approves of and what God doesn't approve of? Psalm 119, 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. How much time do you spend really thinking about God's Word? If you're struggling, an honest answer to that question might explain part of the reason. And you know the thing about meditation? You cannot meditate in a hurry. You have to take time to turn the scriptures over in your mind. Consider each word. Ask God to open your eyes. In Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word. Then, of course, look at your life and your thoughts in light of God's word. We've already considered 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at a prayer in Psalm 139, a prayer that I would like you to be able to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Are you willing to pray this? Are you willing to consider that some of the ways you are comfortable with might need to be changed? I had to, and the change, the realization was uncomfortable. The deliverance has been a great blessing. Then putting off and putting on, put off the old, put on the new. That's, we've spent enough time on that one. You have to do both sides of the equation or it won't work. The real question is, are you willing to substitute what the Bible says for what you currently believe and how you currently live? That is the real question of the renewed mind. Are you willing to substitute God's word for what you have experienced and how you feel? That's the renewed mind. Or are you only happy simply to learn new things? I'll just keep learning as long as I don't have to do anything with it. Control your thinking. You need to be the gatekeeper. You need to be the bouncer of your mind. Check IDs whenever a thought comes across your path. And we don't do this enough. We do not lead captive every thought to Christ. We let a lot of thoughts slip in. We need to lead them captive, and we won't know what to lead captive if we don't listen to God, read His Word. You know, again, and I'll say this a few times, that willpower alone does not bring a true transformation. Willpower can modify behavior. It can even modify behavior for long periods of time. Alcoholics Anonymous does, in many cases, a reasonable job of helping people stop drinking. But it doesn't claim to bring them deliverance. Because even at the start of their AA meetings, my name is Bob Carden, I'm an alcoholic who hasn't, you know, drunk alcohol in 6 months, 8 years, 20 years, whatever it is. That's not deliverance. That's not deliverance. It's better than not than still drinking. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not what God really wants for you. He wants complete deliverance. The renewed mind is God working with you to bring to pass what Christ has already accomplished for you. On your own strength, you're only going to get so far. Good news is you're not stuck with your own strength. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy, our sufficiency, is from God. Now, you know, there are many different things you can consider when it comes to the renewed mind, but I want to give you a renewed mind assignment to consider that ties in with the question I started this segment on. Who are you? Who stares back at you from the mirror? That's what I want you to really understand. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. You have been given an intimate relationship with God. You are not on formal terms with Him. You are on intimate terms with Him. I want to relate to God on the terms that He has set up. Isaiah 43:25. You see, the terms of our relationship to God at our fundamental level are based on forgiveness. And Isaiah 43 says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. See, when God says He doesn't remember our sins, that's different than saying God doesn't forget our sin, or God forgets our sins. Okay? It doesn't say God forgets your sins. To forget is passive. You do not have control over what you forget. If I had control over what I would forget, I would have done much better in school. Forgetting is passive. Not remembering is active. So when God says He doesn't remember, that means He chooses not to look at you and bring up your failures, your sins, your struggles. Are you willing to look at yourself and treat yourself the same way? Or are you just going to remind yourself and beat yourself into the dirt over failures from 30 years ago? I want to live like God. Know who you are, and it will direct how you live. You know, to renew your mind, let me see if I can get back to this. To renew your mind is about believing what God says about you. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God. That's a wonderful part of the verse. I'm really interested in the second part, as beloved children. Do you believe that? He really does love us. He truly loves us. You are a beloved child. The renewed mind is about imitating God, which is just what Jesus Christ did. Many times we find it easier to believe what the Bible says about Christ than to believe what the Bible says about us. How many of you believe that Jesus got raised from the dead? Well, sure we do. Are you struggling with that belief? No, you're not. But we struggle when the Bible says that we're beloved of God. We struggle when the Bible says that we have been cleansed from sin. Which means I'm not dragging it around like a scarlet letter. Ever read a scarlet letter when you're in high school? A scarlet letter. I mean, I had the whole alphabet. So, that's not what walking with God is all about. He chooses not to remember. You already believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. I want you to believe what it says about you. And that's what will work a true transformation. Let's take another 10-minute break, okay?